We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're back, we're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air this first day of November 2011. Yes, that's the first day of November, which means it is Movember. You might all recall we had a big show last week when we spoke to some of the people from Movember and what they're hoping to achieve this year. So we'll be mentioning Movember throughout this month. This is Bill Cable from Mediate Now, and on technical production today we have Tim. Very grateful for Tim's help today. Because we have a very big, a very busy show with a lot of interesting people to talk to. It is, as I mentioned before, it's Melbourne Cup Day in Sydney. It's a bit cloudy, a little bit colder, 21 degrees today. In Melbourne, I think there is a bit of a wet track with a with some cloud about, but no rain. So whatever that means, I'm not sure, but perhaps some of you punters out there will be able to make your decision based on that. It's going to be an amazing day in Melbourne for the one day of the year when the country stops. That's Melbourne Cup Day. Now, on to our show today. We will be... part of International Men's Day, which is coming up on the 19th of November. We'll be concentrating on International Men's Day for three of our shows. It's such a huge event around the world. And today we will be crossing to Ireland, and we'll be then going across to the United States. And we've got some really interesting people to talk to, so make sure you stick around. Now, just before we get on to our guests, as always, there are a couple of items that have caught our attention in the last week or so. I might just mention some recent interesting research on eating disorders in males, which has revealed some serious problems. We all know that many eating-related disorders affect the general population, most especially teenagers. And some of these eating-related disorders include anorexia nervosa and bulimia nervosa, or binge eating. I think bulimia nervosa, or binge eating, was perhaps most famously known with the late Princess Diana, but it does also affect many males. Even though this happens, the research is underrepresented regarding males, but the magnitude of the problem is just as important to those of males and females, according to new research. Binge eating is a disorder characterized by eating a large amount of food, usually greater than 2,000 calories, in just one meal within a specific period of time. And individuals who suffer from this disorder may feel a sense of lack of control over eating during the episode. In addition, they usually feel these typical characteristics: eating more rapidly than usual, eating until uncomfortable, eating large amounts when they're not hungry, perhaps eating alone, and they feel terrible at the end of it, and they may feel the urge to purge themselves. This new study was published in the International Journal of Eating Disorders, and the researchers found out that only very few of the male population affected with this disorder would consider seeking medical treatment. That's perhaps part of a larger problem. The study involved 21,743 males and 24,608 females. And they found that the impact of the disorder is for both groups is just the same. It should be taken into account by other researchers. The underrepresentation of men in binge eating research does not reflect lower levels of impairment in men versus women, and widespread awareness regarding this matter should be known in order to give appropriate treatment both to female and males. So that's something that the whole community needs to be aware of, that this is a disorder that has very large effects in the community. Now, as I mentioned, it is International Men's Day this month on the 19th of November. Before we cross to our international guests, we might just mention a couple of events that are being held in our own country. The Men's Shed at Murrimbula is planning a community variety concert in a central entertainment location to celebrate International Men's Day. For more information on that, you should contact Peter Ayling on 0429 061 234. Also in the ACT, all three child and family centres will be joining to facilitate a special Father's Paint and Play program in the centre of Canberra on 19th of November 2011. That's the actual International Men's Day, where representatives from local men's services will be invited to participate in this paint and play activity. Professionals from the centres and the men's services will be available on the day to talk with dads about parenting and provide information on relevant programs and services currently available within the ACT. Going up to Queensland, Royal Children's Hospital will be setting up an International Men's Day display in the hospital foyer where health information brochures will be given out. So you can watch out for that coming up on International Men's Day. There's also been an article here, it's always timely. This is in connection with giving men a helping hand, I suppose, in the office. Men's Fashion Don'ts for the Office. This is an article by A. Covington, who gave some, I'm not sure whether A. Covington is male or female, but in any event, there are some tips on men's fashion and grooming no-nos at work. The first one selected was ill-fitting suits. Having a suit that fits too tight is just as bad as having a suit that hangs on. The tip here is make sure that your suit fits. Perhaps less expensive to take care of is to avoid clashing colours and patterns in your clothing. And I guess that applies also with ties. Make sure you get a good quality tie if you're looking to impress in the office. Untucked shirts, this is something we all need to watch out for, and do your best to keep the shirt tucked in. Worn out shoes, yes, the shoes make the outfit, or the shoes make the man, I suppose. Anyway, make sure you keep your shoes, good pair of shoes, and keep them polished if you want to, if you want to impress. Wrinkled clothes, no. Mixing casual with dressy, no. So there are a few things just to perhaps keep in mind as we come up to International Men's Day. And maybe just on a lighter note, but we sometimes hear it said that men are funnier than women. But Christopher Hitchens, who's putting out a lot of books at the moment, as he unfortunately suffers from a fatal illness. We don't know how much longer we're going to have Christopher Hitchens with us, but in an article in Vanity Fair, he examined why is it that men are taken on average to be funnier than women. There was a study done, this was back in 2007, but the study found that men might have a tiny edge over women in producing humour, but the gap is really too small to account for the stereotype. Given this was a group of 16 male, 16 female subjects, and the captions that they put to some New York magazine cartoons were rated by a different group of 34 males and 47 female subjects. The results were actually the same, but interestingly, the unfunny captions were more often wrongly attributed to women and the funny ones misattributed to men. So the overall view was, I suppose, that fewer women win New Yorker caption contests, but fewer enter. When women do enter, they tend to win. So the conclusion was women may have the last laugh on this one. Okay, we might go to a short break, and we'll be back soon with our first guest.
Go poro, aptura.
Dad's on the air. We're now crossing over to Ireland, and we're speaking with Mick Kenny, who is the chair of Men in Childcare Ireland and the coordinator of International Men's Day for Ireland. Mick, are you there?
I am indeed. Hi.
Good morning. It's lovely to hear your voice. As you're aware, we had some technical problems, but anyway, it's coming up to 19th of November 2011, and International Men's Day. We're very interested in what you can tell us about what this means for Ireland.
Well, I suppose I'm involved in a network here in Ireland that's trying to support and encourage men who are interested in a career in childcare. And it was just via Facebook and the internet that we actually came across International Men's Day. One of our goals is to sort of promote the idea of men working with children. So the 19th happens to be International Men's Day, but the day after is actually Universal Children's Day. So it seemed perfect on the 19th to actually hold a conference about men and children. Just, I suppose, to highlight it as a career choice for men.
Yes, and it fits in with the theme for International Men's Day this year. I think the theme is about boys and men. So, yes, very very topical. Perhaps could you tell us something about your own background, Mick, before you took up this cause of getting men into childcare?
Well, I suppose I'm working in childcare for about 19 years. And before that, I would have been involved in youth work and scouts. And when I finished school, it was ideal that I could actually look at a career with something that I actually really enjoyed, and I got a lot of benefit out of. I worked in special needs children and primary school children for several years, and then by pure chance I applied for a job in a preschool by accident. They were just advertising as a childcare worker, and it was only sort of halfway through the interview they started talking about young children. And I had never sort of considered working with very young children, say from under 4 or 5 year olds. But I suppose, having finished childcare course, I was sort of anxious to get in on the sector, so I took up the job, and that was 16 years ago, and I've literally never looked back since. I suppose I've moved up through the childcare sector, starting originally as a childcare worker, supervisor, and now I'm actually lucky enough to be a manager in a community childcare centre in Erlingford in Kilkenny.
Look, yeah, it's wonderful. And I mean, all of us who are dads know what satisfaction it can give and what joy and pleasure it is working with the very young children. But did you find there were any barriers for you getting into this field?
No, I suppose I was very lucky getting into it initially. My first manager in the childcare centre in Kilkenny, she had worked in Manchester in England for a number of years, and she would have encountered other male childcare workers. So when I had actually applied for the job, she was very enthusiastic to sort of have me on board, knowing sort of the benefits that a sort of a mixed gender workforce sort of can give to children. Like, it's important that they, if you have children that are in daycare or in childcare for a large portion of the day, that they have sort of both role models, male and female, looking after them, so children don't grow up in society just assuming that, you know, looking after children and caring for children is a woman's job. That they can sort of see that being caring, I suppose, can be manly as well.
Yes, absolutely. Very important. And yet, not many men are in the workforce at this stage, are there? Is it mainly women that are in charge of childcare?
Yeah, I suppose in Ireland here, I was actually working in childcare in preschools and that for about 8 years before I met another man. That was at our first sort of men in childcare conference. But we're actually finding since, I suppose everyone has heard of the recession in Ireland, since that has actually struck, there's an awful lot of men that are actually looking at a second choice career. A lot of them are actually dads that have, I suppose, they're stay-at-home dads at the moment. Their wife maybe having a more flexible qualification. They're reassessing what they actually would like, you know, I suppose, look at as a different career. And we're actually trying to be a signpost there, saying, you know, you're at home minding your kids. You know, you're actually enjoying, most of the time, all the lads are actually enjoying having time at home with the children. And we're saying, well, why not make a career out of it? So we're there, I suppose, to say to the guys, you know, it's not unusual. While there's not many of us out there, you know, there are some, and it's like a snowball. You know, it always starts with a small number, and then it grows and grows. If you look at some of the Scandinavian countries, they've had a couple of generations coming through childcare, and they have about 20% of their childcare workers are male. Some of the centres have a 50-50 ratio. I suppose while we're here in Ireland, our network is only going about 7 years. I suppose we're hoping, you know, we're actually seeing more men coming into the sector, you know, year by year.
Yeah, look, very important. And what would you see as the differences between what a male can bring in this field from perhaps what we're used to with women providing?
I suppose men and women have different interests, and I suppose I never want to go down the stereotypical role of, you know, guys are always very sporty and they get out there, but in general, any guys that I've actually met that are working in childcare are very fun-loving, and they enjoy the crack, you know, working with the kids. They get a sense of fun out of it. And I suppose while we can be nurturing as well, that the guys usually, I suppose, they'll dive in, they're the first on the floor messing with the kids, or, you know, if we're out in the playground, I'm lucky enough that one of my other staff in my centre is a man, and any time I go down, if he's in the toddler room with the 1 to 2 year olds, he usually has, you know, maybe 2 kids swinging out of his neck, and one in each arm, and one onto his leg. Yeah. And it's just, I suppose, the fun side, and it's good for the kids as well to actually sort of see, you know, that a guy can do this.
Yes, and there have been some studies in this part of the world recently about the benefits of that play acting sort of wrestling between men and children. So, is that encouraged at your childcare, that physical contact between the men and the children?
Yeah, well, I think it's actually natural, because I suppose like, I'm a dad at home, I have two boys, and this is sort of the interaction I have with my lads. And I know one of my children was actually minded by a male childminder, and, like, one of the things that he actually used to love coming home with in the evening is the stories about, you know, playing with Gary and his wife Natalie and stuff as well. And it's, I suppose it's more natural for that type of play as opposed to being standoffish. And as well as that, it's, when you think back to when we were kids, that's what we did. You know, so this is a natural gap in children's play that needs to be filled somehow.
Yes, I suppose that leads to the inevitable question, but teachers in Australia have got to the stage where, not just primary school teachers, but all teachers, the male teachers are very, very concerned about any physical contact for fear that some allegation might be made against them later down the track. Is that something that you need to be very conscious of in your work?
Well, I suppose all professionals have to be conscious of it, whether you're male or you're female. You know, like, I suppose the issue of keeping children safe is an adult issue, not necessarily just the male one. But I suppose that's where you sort of have your good policies and procedures sort of back up your practice.
Yes.
So, say, if you're actually working with the children, we're working with children so young, usually there's a staff team and there's several adults in the room together. So I suppose you fall back on the best practice of how to work with your children, and I suppose having a second staff there, that, I suppose, no allegations could be made against you.
Yes, I'm sure those sort of it's just common sense precautions, isn't it? I suppose perhaps leave the door open when you're if you happen to be alone with a child, which is going to happen sometimes.
That's it, and sometimes it's how your centre is actually designed as well, that it's sort of adult and child friendly. To know that you have clear eye, you know, line of sight with your eyes, and you can sort of hear other staff members, and it's an element of common sense. But then when you're working with children, you know, sometimes if you get too tied up in, I suppose, what someone may say against you, it sort of might take away from sort of the element of, I suppose, being natural with kids and, I suppose, enjoying working with them.
Absolutely. And have there been any allegations made in your experience?
No, I haven't actually come across, you know, any. I suppose there's always stories in tabloids and stuff like that, but personally myself, I haven't come across any. But I suppose that's where, you know, it's up to professionals that are actually trained properly working with kids that I suppose they follow best practice and procedures, and even the staff who are actually working in the centre, like, we have police vetting, you check your references, you know, so you make sure that the staff that are actually working with the children are the best staff possible.
Yes.
Whether they're men or women.
Yes, and so once you can get that out of the way, and I guess the parents make a point of talking and getting to know the teachers.
Pardon?
Do you find the parents want to have a special interest in getting to know the teachers, and so they build up that confidence in the teacher?
Yeah, I think, like, I remember the first time I actually started working in the preschool. Like I said, my supervisor at the time was used to working with men. And I suppose when she introduced me to the new parents coming in, to her it didn't matter whether it was male or female, so she introduced me as, you know, this is our new childcare worker, Mick.
Yes.
But some of the parents were sort of surprised initially, but I suppose they had never thought of a male childcare worker. And to tell you the truth, I had never thought I'd be working with children that young as well, so I was as surprised as they were. But I suppose it's having the open door policy where children can actually come in, or parents can come in, sorry, and actually, you know, I suppose, have a chat with you, see how you work with the children. And what I also find as well is it sort of encourages dads a little bit more to sort of come in and have a chat.
Yes.
And it's often in the centre that, I suppose, parents may be dropping and running. But I suppose myself and even with my other child care worker, Mick, we often find that they'll actually stay and have a bit of a chat. So I suppose you're encouraging the dads to be as involved in the children's life and in the childcare centre as much as the mums. And I think dads sort of appreciate it as well.
Yes, it's a very worthy cause. I think, to get the all the men involved more, and I think perhaps the men used to be involved. Then there was a decline when which we're now trying to redress and get the men back there, because certainly I think the men have a lot to offer. I mean, I know once I was in a restaurant and a couple came in with a child, and they asked me if I'd mind the child. Well, they went out and got some groceries or something, and then came back 15 minutes later and collected the child. All was well. So I don't think we haven't quite reached that stage generally, but it's something we should be working for, to get men back as being quite normal and accepted community in the community as being able to look after children.
No, and I think the more men that are actually seen working in childcare, the more normal it will become.
Yes.
But sometimes, I suppose it could be a generational thing. You know, I'm having children now that I would have minded initially when I started, that are actually becoming adults. And in a few years' time, they're going to be, you know, maybe having families of their own. So when they're having their children in childcare, if for some odd reason they come across, you know, a male childcare worker, it's not going to be as strange to them, because they will have been minded by one when they were small themselves. So I suppose it's the few guys that are actually starting now that are taking, you know, I suppose the brave first footsteps.
And
sometimes, you know, especially if you're out with your mates, initially you can sort of, you might get that little bit of slagging, you know, about, you know, working with children and stuff. But I think the guys who are actually working in the sector enjoy it so much, you know, I suppose the enthusiasm to have is sort of infectious. I had a chap I met in Dublin a few months ago. He was an ex-builder, and he was getting a bit of slagging off his friends about working with young children. And he had the perfect solution to it. He just said it to his friends that he was working in the centre today. And he built a tower out of Lego blocks that was 8 foot high. And then he said, "I got paid for it." There's plenty of guys that are actually trudging to work every day, you know, behind the keyboards, you know, and they just do it day in, day out. Whereas I think when you're working with kids, the feedback, and, you know, there's not a day that you don't go to work that something doesn't make you laugh or smile, or you actually come back feeling that you've actually achieved something, you know.
Yes, look, I think you're a lucky man in some ways. You're a brave man because you've got into it, and I think you're doing wonderful work, because it's just promoting the men in the community, which is to everyone's advantage if we can get men more involved. So we're speaking with Mick Kenny in Ireland. Mick, are you in Dublin at the moment?
No, I'm actually in Goran, which is just outside Kilkenny.
Oh, Kilkenny. Yes.
Yeah.
A lovely part of the world.
Most people sort of heard of Kilkenny beer, so.
Yes, so we've heard of Kilkenny cats too, but that's another story, I suppose.
That's it, yeah.
Well, Mick, I know it's very early in the morning for you, and we're very grateful for you for coming onto our program. Can we wish you all the best for the work you're doing in Men in Childcare, and particularly coming up to International Men's Day? I know you'll get support from around the world as well in that. So we wish you all the best in your work, and we'll it's a very happy story. So thank you very much for coming on the program.
No problem.
Thank you, Mick.
Just say, if anyone else is actually interested in information on men in childcare, we have actually a Facebook site set up, and it's just facebook.com/men in childcare. Even though it is Men in Childcare Ireland, there's an awful lot of men from all around the world, America, Asia, sort of link in with us, and we have an awful lot of info and articles and information, I suppose, on working in childcare.
Look, that's great. I wonder, could you just give us that Facebook address again?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/men in childcare.
That's great. Well, once again, Mick, thank you very much for being on the program, and we wish you all the best for International Men's Day and the work you're doing.
That's great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mick.
Now that I've lost everything to you, you say you want to start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Baby, I'm grieving, but if you want to leave, you have a lot of nice things to wear, but then a lot of nice things turn.
And I'll always remember you like a child, girl. You know I've seen a lot of what the world can do, and it's breaking my heart in two. 'Cause I never wanna see you sad, girl. Don't be a bad girl. But if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you find a lot of nice friends out there. But just remember there's a lot of bad and beware. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile.
Guest is John Evans, John D. Evans from Illinois, USA, who is the regional coordinator for International Men's Day. John, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And it's about a year since we spoke to you. I wonder if you could perhaps bring us up to date with some of the things you've been doing for the last year in all your various roles.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm honored to be another voice on behalf of 2011 IMD. This year's focus, as I am sure you may know by now, is that there's a focus on boys, which I think is awesome because so many young men really need academic, social, emotional, and in some cases even financial support. So, you know, what we're trying to do is make sure that they have more positive models represented throughout the various post-secondary schools in the city and high schools in the city. And one way that I feel that we can do that is through promoting the message of IMD through various flyers, buttons, and even with our website presence. We're also sponsoring statewide poetry and short story contests and an annual dinner to celebrate the winner. So right now we're simply continuing what was started last year, and the information is certainly found on the internationalmensday.com website. So certainly, I personally feel that our young men today need more positive models represented in media and in their daily lives.
Yes, it's too easy to get the bad role models, I suppose, and get a headline, but the good work and the good people out there don't always come to anyone's attention, do they?
That's right.
So, and so what is the theme of International Men's Day this year, John?
Well, the theme this year is a focus on boys, because it was in consultation with organizers from other, you know, other nations that the coordination committee decided to have a more focused theme this year. And I like a quote that Diane Sears, the U.S. coordinator for IMD, made, and she said that The future of our sons and generations yet unborn are in our hands. And I thought that was a phenomenal statement, and that really makes a good statement for what we're doing this year by focusing on boys rather than the global population.
Yeah, more generally, yes, for men, it's really getting that best possible start. And I guess that extends to things like health, as well as you mentioned education before. Health is another area which there'll be some focus on for boys around the world.
Yes, that's certainly one of the objectives of IMD, certainly, to not only celebrate men's positive contributions, but also to do whatever we can to focus on men's health and well-being, be it social, emotional, physical, and spiritual.
Mm. And all of these are under threat, I think, at the moment, all those different areas. There's certainly challenges in that health area. And in the just going back again, the education area, you're promoting these competitions. Are yes. boys struggling at the moment with their grades in generally in America?
We do have cases where I feel students can really receive more support than they are currently receiving, and I know that's not all. That's multifaceted. Multifaceted problem with a myriad of possible solutions, but I know certainly that, you know, looking at students who are suffering from lack of access to resources that may really be their support base at home. We're looking at students who are, having teachers who misunderstand them and who are quick to punish before understanding and showing the level of compassion necessary to really understand a child. So I'm looking at a number of different issues on a daily basis as an educator, and I know for certain that one area that all men and all boys can benefit from, and that's an increase in a level of inspiration within our daily lives. Because I do feel that the opposite of depression is inspiration. And if we increase the level of inspiration and promote that positive model before the young men, that a lot of the misleading negative information can be less attractive to them.
Yes, and I mean, you yourself are a graduate of a number of universities and have numerous qualifications. Perhaps you might be a role model yourself to get the boys to show to interested in education and how they can better themselves. I mean, perhaps they naturally gravitate towards sport, but there are a lot of other avenues where they can distinguish themselves.
Right, and I think a lot of that has to do with the exposure. We want to highlight and, you know, celebrate men's positive contributions, and in doing so, we're educating, because we can not only inspire, but we also must educate and show those other positive models. A lot of young men may not even be aware of some of the possibilities out there because they've never heard of them. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is that in addition to us saying it is up to the individual to go out and seek knowledge, at the same time, it's our responsibility to make sure that we share it with this youth, with the young generation.
Yes, and how does International Men's Day get that message out?
Well, you know, one of the ways that a lot of information is being spread out is through the social networks. And I know that right now the presence of IMD on Facebook is not very large right now, considering I'm sure how global the organization is and how global the initiative is. I would invite all persons who are on Facebook to log onto the International Men's Day page on Facebook and just simply like us, because what we'll do is begin to network electronically as well. That's one of the initiatives that we have here in Illinois, is to continue to promote IMD via a website presence and you know, including other methods as well. But certainly, I'm a big advocate for literature, and I do encourage each year people to, well, men and young men, to enter the annual writing contests, which are highlighted on the Illinois page of the International Men's Day site.
Yes. So when you mentioned social network, are you thinking there of Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube? Are they the avenues you're referring to?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Yes. When you mentioned the social networking, is that a reference to Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube? Yes. Are they the ways you would seek to get the message out?
Yes. The primary source is certainly the internationalmensday.com website. That would be international-men-day.com. And there's an Illinois page that you can learn more about what's going on in Illinois. But certainly that's the primary source for information. However, we do have information, like I said, on the, like you said, I should say, on the Facebook.com. And I'm able to be reached on Twitter and my website, jdpoetry.com. So there are a number of ways that one can get in contact with myself and IMD Illinois.
Yes, so just mention that again. We're speaking with John D. Evans, and his the website you mentioned was jdpoetry.com. Is that correct?
Yes, jdpoetry.com.
That's great, because yes, John is a world renowned poet. So do you have many people involved with International Men's Day in Illinois, John?
Well, we're growing each year, but it's still a nice local base right here in Oak Park, Illinois, and in Chicago, Illinois, at the moment.
Yes. And do you link with Movember? Is that part of the celebration?
Yes, November 19th. That's the big day.
Oh, yes, November. And we also link in Australia with Movember, which is, you know, everyone growing, all the men growing mows. Is that celebrated in the U.S.?
November, right as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, I think it's an ideal time.
Yes. Yes, that's great. And you've been selected again. Could you perhaps give us a quick summary of what happened in the 2010 International Men's Day celebrations?
Sure. Well, celebrated a local writer. Submitted a short story, and I'd like to tell you a little bit more about him in just one second. And we also have our poet laureate, I would call him, as the judge for our poetry contest. For the second year, he's agreed to be the judge for the poetry contest.
And people can find out how to enter. Is that contest open to people outside the U.S.?
Certainly. And once you are logged onto the site, you'll see what I mean. Anyone from, you know, we have countries all around the world that are a part of this great network here. So our winner last year, you were speaking of last year, winner last year of the IMD Illinois Tepsi Inc. Francis E.W. Harper Prize for Short Story 2010 went to Frank C. Clock of Naperville, Illinois, and he won for his one of his fascinating short stories. And we have for our poetry final judge, Dr. Bruce Guernsey, who is the professor emeritus at Eastern Illinois University. So we're really excited about potential and where we're kind of looking forward to going. So and there's a proclamation that you can find on the Illinois page supporting International Men's Day from Bolingbrook, Illinois. So we're still working on Chicago, but we certainly have mayors and other city leaders who are certainly in support of International Men's Day and its objectives.
That's great. And are the winning poems and short stories available on the website?
You know what? We don't have currently a link to the winner's works yet, but what we'll do is add that, because that is an awesome idea.
I would certainly like to see some of those winning entries. And, John, this is an annual highlight for us. Last year you read a poem for us from The Diary of a Renaissance Man, and I'd have to say, on the day that Australia stops for a horse race, we all stopped for your poem. It was just so moving. And I'm wondering if I could ask you again if you wouldn't mind reading a poem for our listeners. It's just such an annual treat for us.
Okay, I would be honored to. With veins that run deep in my soul, vessels more precious than pure gold, a being so uniquely defined, beauty that cannot be denied, full of life, hope, history, of goodness, grace, destiny, from a perfect model molded by mighty, masterful hands, an awesome creature, no small wonder, I am a man, portrait of a man.
John, that's a wonderful poem, and thank you. I'm moved equally as I was last year. It's just so wonderful to hear you speaking your poetry. And for people that would like to read a bit more of John's work, I guess you could go to your website, johndpoetry.com, or jdpoetry.com, or you've got a number of books out. I mentioned Diary of a Renaissance Man. There's poetry by John D. Evans, produced in 2008, and Between the Sun and the Shade, Thanksgiving from the Davis Family, 2009, and there's Washing My Hands, 2010, a spoken word CD, which would be wonderful.
Good.
So there are a number of John has been prolific in producing poetry and short stories and literature generally, so I'd commend everyone to look up John D. Evans. So, John, we're running out of time, but could I thank you most sincerely for being on the program this morning, and we wish you all the best for International Men's Day and for all your work.
Well, I certainly enjoyed my time with you, and thank you so much. Everyone have a happy International Men's Day.
Thank you, John, and so all the best from Australia, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you another day. So thank you very much again for being on the program.
Thank you. You're more than welcome.
Bye-bye.
We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air for the last time today, this Tuesday, 1st of November. I hope you're all lined up for your Melbourne Cup bet later on today, 3 o'clock in Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And we'd like to thank our guests today. We had John Evans speaking to us from Illinois in the USA about International Men's Day in the US and some of the work he's been doing over the past year. And we also spoke to Mick Kenny, who is the Chair of Men in Childcare Ireland and Coordinator of International Men's Day for Ireland. So it was interesting hearing Mick's take on working in childcare with his great experience in that area over the last 19, 20 years in Ireland. Apologies that we didn't get to speak to Glenn Poole. We were looking forward to speaking to Glenn about 2011 and the work that's happening in the UK, but we'll try and line Glenn up for another day, so that's still something we can look forward to. So next week we will be having another show dedicated to International Men's Day, and we'll have some interesting guests from around the world. So until we get back to you next week, don't forget our website is now www.dadsontheair.com.au. Forget all the others, it's dadsontheair.com.au. And we hope to have this show up on the net in the next 24 hours or so, so you can see the best of the show in that on that website, which will be available, we expect, after tomorrow. So in the meantime, thanks to Tim. We've had some major dramas today, which we seem to have got through. So many thanks to Tim. And as I say, we'll be back next week with another Dads on the Air program. Until then, it is Bill Cable from Mediate Now. And hope everyone has a great week. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.